Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On tonight's segment, we're going live with a midweek recap and an NWSL live recap, of tonight's games and Saturday's games as well. Thank you all for joining us live. As always, please subscribe to us on YouTube for NWSL extended highlights, exclusive interviews, our live recaps, and so much more. YouTube.com/attackingthird. Hit subscribe. It helps us out big time. Thank you all so much for joining us. Quick content note as well before we get into all this. We're going live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube for the next few weeks to talk about Wednesday matches and weekend games. So again, make sure you hit subscribe so that you don't miss out on these moments where we can all be together live. And Lisa, I'm here live with you once more. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I am so good. I am so hype after these games. We had like a light, it was like a snack on Saturday. It was just two games in the NWSL and then a big old meal today on Sunday with four games. It was a great way to end the weekend. But yes, I'm excited to chat with you about it. We're going live like a little earlier than usual because last game didn't kick off or did kick off at 7 Eastern. So it's 9:20 here on the East Coast. I'm excited. Let's dive into this because this last game was just nuts. And everyone is, sorry, I'm like a little ADD, like all over the place right now. Everyone in our chat is shouting out your hat right now. So I gotta give mad props to the hat. Can you tell us what it says?
Yeah, it's a throwback. It's a throwback Chicago Bulls 1996 championship hat.
Wow.
You know, always gotta rep your set.
Go I love Bulls. That.
I've been watching like it's been a chaotic week, as you know. Like we've gone live multiple times. We had midweek matches, and there were some moments where I had to like center, like refocus and center myself. So there were like moments this week where I was like, "Let me throw something on and try to like have it on in the background as I'm getting into work zone." And it was like Michael Jordan's and the Bulls Last Dance documentary.
Oh, such
so
a
I was
good
like,
job.
"Let me throw on a couple." And like this has been so I was like, you know what? I'm also going to rock the hat as well. So yeah, thanks everybody. Appreciate y'all. It's the little things, right? That making me smile. Yeah. But we're here to cover soccer. We're here to cover NWSL. Oh, yeah. And we've got several matches to go through. I like how you put it, Lisa, a snack. It was just a snack on Saturday because we went from a doubleheader to a quadruple header on Sunday. So since everyone's joining us live as these games have ended, we're gonna kick things off with, quite frankly, the game that just ended. Let's talk about Orlando Pride versus Chicago Red Stars. This one ending in a really chaotic way because it had to, right, Lisa? Like we should have predicted that this is the last game on the Sunday slate of games. So this was the game that was going to not walk away in peace. It was going to have chaotic energy in the final 10 minutes. And it did. This one ending in a 4-2 scoreline. Chicago Red Stars, though, taking all 3 points. The action coming in this one, not super early. I was looking for the early goal from Orlando, quite frankly, but Chicago Red Stars had different ideas in this one. They got on the board in the 11th minute and by way of a rookie goal. So shout out to Sarah Griffith for racking up her first regular season pro goal.
Yeah, this was huge. I think you said it best, Sandra. The first half of this game didn't have – that much. I mean, compared to the last 10 minutes of this game, the last 20 minutes of this game. But because of that, it did allow for so much to be opened up in the second half, because this game was played in Orlando at Exploria Stadium. We knew Mallory Pugh was available off the bench as a substitute, which is the first time that she's even been available in a regular season game. And to not see her not get the start was not at all surprising. Knew that she needed to kind of work her way back into things. But yeah, you're right. I mean, for Chicago to get on the board first against a team like Orlando Pride that has historically throughout the this regular season scored in the first, I'm going to give them 5 minutes, but it's been like 4 minutes mostly. That was crucial for Chicago to keep Orlando off the board and instead impose their game onto Orlando a little bit. And you could tell that Chicago hasn't played for a minute and they were feeling healthy and they were looking pretty fresh. But to get off on the board first for Chicago, that was huge. And then in the second half, I mean, it was bam, bam, bam. Action. Mallory Pugh came on at the halftime as well. So that was also a bit of a game changer, I think, for Chicago, knowing that they now have Mallory Pugh, who's been itching to get back on the pitch and gunning for it throughout the first 45 minutes. And I'm sure at halftime, a vocal Pugh with her teammates, encouraging them to do different things or where the open space was. Because as a player who traditionally plays 90 minutes, maybe 80 will give for Pugh, to then be sidelined for not just 45 minutes, but also multiple games and be able to watch your team play on the pitch. And then for 45 minutes, knowing that you're most likely going to play at the second half, at the start of the second half, I'm sure that was communicated with her, to watch the first 45 minutes and be able to find the holes. And you are studying the game from a different perspective. And that's exactly what Pugh did, because as soon as she stepped on the pitch, it was, it was Pugh's game.
I was a little thrown off, honestly, because I was curious. It was something with Mallory Pugh being out for these last several weeks. They were taking it really easy with her with the initial concussion diagnosis, and she was participating in training, and then they were, you know, guiding her through contact and stuff like that. So it was like she was doing some stuff on the ball, you know, on her own, and then more with team, and then actual contact. So they were, you know, with this early in the season, they were taking it easy. So I was a little curious with this game, where she was kind of given the green light, what type of minutes restriction it would look like. So I was a little curious, is that it was an actual going to be a full 45 minutes plus.
Yeah.
But knowing that this Orlando Pride team had a number of games under their belt before getting to this Sunday, I would imagine that some of the space that they saw being given to them in that first half, they wanted to maybe try to expose a little bit more and capitalize on in that second half. And that's absolutely what we saw from Mal Pugh. I mean, she got on, and the first thing she did was record an assist for the Chicago Red Stars. But it was almost like she had just so much time to make a decision with the ball at her feet, just outside the box. And you could just see, like, in her body language, she was like, okay, well, I'm just going to dink this way and see what happens. And all of a sudden, Bianca St. George scores this ridiculous goal from this ridiculous angle. And they have the go-ahead goal there. And then obviously we saw them continue to add on the goals. But there were moments throughout it where there were absolute vibes in this game where I was like, okay, it looks like there's a team here that has played some extended minutes this week, you know, a midweek match. And there's another team that hasn't played a midweek match. But Chicago, like you mentioned, Lisa, is a team that hasn't been able to sort of get into a rhythm in this regular season yet, just due to some of the Challenge Cup overlap and stuff like that.
That's really what it was, just Chicago trying to get a little bit of consistency. And that's almost maybe why the first half was a little slower and a little more predictable and not as much action, because throughout the second half is when this game really unfolded. I think Vanessa DiBernardo in the midfield was phenomenal for Chicago, being really influential in the ways that she was contributing to the attack. You mentioned Bianca St. George's getting the second goal for Chicago. I was super happy about that too. Her second goal of the regular season, and a player that in the absence of Mallory Pugh has stepped up as a forward in St. George's, and to continue to do that and shine alongside Pugh is very promising for the future of the Chicago Red Stars this year when they have to go through a lot of rotation. But Sandra, we've got to talk about the last 10, 15 minutes of this match, because Orlando is trying to gain a bit of possession. They're trying to gain a bit of momentum. And there ends up being a penalty kick called inside the box against Chicago. And it is Sidney LaRue who lines up over top of this ball. This is the 81st minute. And
it's smart. I loved it.
It was, I mean, Sidney LaRue was the right person to line up over this one, and it is saved by Alyssa Nayer and saved phenomenally, like dives on top of it, doesn't let it go anywhere from her reach. And immediately there's a response in this kind of moment happening, because Orlando was a little ticked off and Sidney LaRue was then running this field, which we see LaRue, this happens to her so often. She gets a fire lit under her and not scoring that penalty kick. That was the match to light that fire. And Orlando, they're able to get on the board. Just 2 minutes later, a goal from Amy Turner. This was a really, really good goal from Orlando. Where was the Chicago defense? There was no one marking Amy Turner on the back post. So this was 83rd minute. And then down on the other side of the pitch, 86th minute, another penalty kick called, this time in favor of Chicago. Mallory Pugh steps up to take it. You love to see that. She does hit it right down the middle. It is saved by Erin McLeod. So you can see on the stat sheet, there's two missed penalty kicks in this match in the very final 10 minutes of this game. However, Pugh is able to get the rebound and she notches her second goal right there at that moment, which
a bit of insurance, quite frankly, for the Red Stars. This scoreline kind of just get bigger and bigger, bigger as the game was trying to wind down. We were chatting a little bit off mic about it. I was like, that was comedy to me. I'm like, I was kind of cracking up a little bit.
I could type what had happened. I was like, oh, something else has happened now. Like,
I'll just wait. And then we'll figure it out as it is. Wild end to that one. But I think obviously neutral.
And Orlando ends up scoring again. They get another goal. Leah Pruitt, she notches a goal for Orlando in the 87th minute or so. So Orlando kept fighting until the very end.
Which I love that for Pewitt, quite frankly, just because she's someone who's been putting in a lot of work, I think, in that front line for Orlando Pride team. I think at one point prior to the midweek match was leading the team in like chances created. So it was good to sort of see her get a goal in this one for the Pride. But yeah, no, just an exciting, I think if you're a neutral, right, taking a look at this kind of game, you're like, wow, like this is what is happening in a game like this. But I think obviously if you're the Orlando side of things, you could sort of see that early part of the first half where maybe the concept was like, okay, we're not going to maybe hit the high press. Maybe we're not going to, be kind of mid blockish. Maybe we're going to just sort of see what the game presents us. And then unfortunately the Red Stars got on the scoreboard very early. So there was this sort of chasing of a game kind of probably much earlier than Orlando Pride kind of anticipated. But I think reserving enough in the tank to sort of make a run of things at the final stages there. But again, I loved it for all the neutrals, and loved it for us, because I think we both had Chicago picked in this one when we were talking about our previews and making our picks. So this one was nice to cap off for our attacking third duo here. We're both just like, yes, this is nice. We get to look like we made the right pick here.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm agree, being a neutral in this one, and as just a fan to kind of get NWSL people in, what a great game to watch.
Yeah, right on. Let's move on to some of the other games that were taking place here, because there's several that we have to get through. Let's take a look at some of these expansion sides, everybody. The expansion sides are staying on top of the standings after this weekend's matches. Let's start with Angel City versus Kansas City Current. Maybe we should start with the picks that we made in this one, Lisa. Got to expose ourselves.
Okay, I love this. So Kansas City, you had Kansas City winning, and I had a draw in this match between KC and Angel City FC. So neither of us were correct in this one, because Angel City walks away with the late night win.
Maybe like a little bit of different chaotic energy. So we're going from the Chicago-Orlando game, where there was massive goals in these final two. But we had own goal make an appearance in this match, a narrow win for Angel City against a Kansas City side that is still looking for a regular season win, and we're also still looking for that as well from them. But Kristen Press just just getting it done, just being relentless, just on the ball, in the box, forcing it in there and forcing the own goal. And that, if you're Kansas City, you're just like, okay, like this is clearly not going our way. How do we try to get back into this? And it wasn't for lack of effort, but the scoreline just didn't go their way.
Exactly. I mean, this game was interesting because it really was a lot just Kristen Press. I think Simone Charlie had a good run as well in this combination play with Press. But how the goal happened and unfolded, essentially, it was Press on a bit of a breakaway. And the ball actually gets caught up under her. And I might be misremembering this because this was yesterday and I watched four games today. But she then like is about to cross it in. And it gets slid out from under her. And honestly, on the replay, it looks like it goes out of bounds. Honest to God.
Depends on the angles, right?
I mean, there's no VAR, so it doesn't happen. The broadcasters didn't talk about it. So it clearly wasn't a point of contention. But from the camera angles that I saw, could have crossed the line. However, Press is somehow able to slide and she gets this cross off. And my heart is breaking a bit here for Taylor Leach for Kansas City, because as this ball comes into the center of the goal, she has no pressure on her. It was Press as Angel City versus five Kansas City players. And there was no one else from Angel City really streaking or forcing this to happen. And it was a really unlucky touch by Taylor Leach that finds the back of the net. And I could just see on her face, and they showed it on the replay, just pure devastation from Leach. And that hurts for a team in Kansas City that's been struggling throughout this regular season. That's just another dagger in their heart, and that's really rough. They had a great opportunity on a set piece, which was an incredible save by Didi Haricich, goalkeeper for Angel City, a great little touch over the crossbar. But if that was another rookie goal that we saw on a set piece opportunity, because Racing Louisville has been doing that back to back, and if Alex Luera put that away, we know that Luera can nail a free kick like that, though. That's something that the opponents are circling. Don't foul too close. Luera can put this on frame.
I love that you brought that point up, because I think this has to, like, on the Kansas City side of things, this has to be such a, I would imagine, such a frustrating result to walk away with, you know. And this is a team that we saw go and win their Challenge Cup group stage, host a semifinal, right? Stay and have a competitive semifinal.
Yeah.
But fall just short of getting to that cup final and navigating these early parts of the regular season and coming out with these strong individual performances. And I think, like, when you have these types of results, when you're still on the hunt for your win in a regular season, that's what maybe they're sort of circling, or that's what they're pointing out in terms of finding, like, your silver linings out of this. So, like, maybe it's, you know, a young rookie like Luera, like, still going out there and having really good performances, and a player like Elise Bennett, who is working her way back into form, like, even though, like, was questionable for at one point with the team, is still trying to have an impact in the attack. Like, these are little things, I think, that Kansas City is maybe sort of, you know, kind of hang their hat on for now.
And they continue to navigate things. Big players, Kansas City got hit with COVID protocol right before this match. They were four out due to COVID protocol, and then a handful others out for injuries in that sense. And I think Lola Bonta was a huge missing piece in the midfield for Kansas City going against Angel City that has Savannah McCaskill, Danny Weatherholt in the midfield. Lola Bonta against Danny Weatherholt, that would have been a really great matchup. And we didn't get to see that because Labonta was out due to COVID protocol. I know that you were talking about Kansas City and how they did so well throughout the Challenge Cup. Just a little fun fact here. Kansas City is number 11 right now, second to last in the standings. However, they have 1 point. The team that Kansas City lost to in the semifinals of the Challenge Cup, North Carolina Courage, they have 0 points and they are number 12 in the standings. So I would love to see these two teams play each other tomorrow. I'm so interested as to kind of how this regular season has taken a turn from the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's there are things there, right? There, I think there are things there from those early weeks in Challenge Cup that maybe we were like, let's hang on to this. Let's hang on to these little nuggets that we're seeing right now, these Challenge Cup nuggets, and hang on to them and sort of see how things play out in the regular season. And I think for Kansas City that there was enough there. Like we saw Elise Bennett putting together these performances in Challenge Cup, Loera putting, you know, Victoria Pickett, and what sort of how rapidly she's become an integral part of this Kansas City current squad. But there's also your experienced veteran players that you know are that you lean on heavily, and not having a Lola Bonta available in a game like this, where maybe sometimes a team like Angel City can struggle a little bit in that middle third, and not having somebody like a Lola Bonta able to kind of, you know, combat that or sort of cancel that out is I think a big loss. So tough, I think, when you have those narrow score lines to begin with, but then I think even more tough, I think, when it comes on an own goal. But I gotta shout out Angel City. They are doing unbelievable things in this early part of the season. They are making things happen with how little they are being given. It's this very interesting combination of sort of, you know, sort of looking at the schedule ahead of them and just sort of taking advantage of what is there in front of them. And I'm appreciating some of these small adjustments that, you know, Freya Coombe is making early in the season, like seeing somebody like Lucy on the flank and further back because she's able to get more involved in the attack and having to make those adjustments out of necessity at some point. Again, there's a bit of the COVID protocol bug going around in the league right now. And Angel City has seen that as well with Allie Riley at one point, and that's how we saw the adjustment with Tyler Lucy. But it's sometimes you got to make do with what's in front of you, and Angel City, I think, is capitalizing on that right now, and it's paying off for them.
They exactly are. I mean, having Tyler Lucy in the back is huge. They did something on social where she like called her brother or something saying like, hey, they want me to play left back. What do I do? So like, that's amazing. And the fact that she's been able to seamlessly step in there and be a good defender while also having that attacking mindset is huge. I told you about Kansas City. They're 11 in the standings right now. Angel City, number 2 in the standings behind, I think, the team we're going to talk about next, Sandra.
Let's talk about them. I love it.
Behind number 1, San Diego Wave FC.
I love a really smooth transition. North Carolina Courage versus San Diego Wave FC. The expansion side's doing what they got to get done. Alex Morgan had her say in this game. Another narrow scoreline for another Cali side. San Diego take this one 1-0 in all 3 points. North Carolina Courage, another team. Found success in Challenge Cup. Still trying to translate that over here into the regular season. And I'm a little curious as to maybe how their summer is going to look, because we're still in May. It's still technically spring. But I think when it comes to sort of seeing, I guess, what we could consider more established, maybe elite teams, you know, teams that have had a history or a record of success in this league. You think of your Portland Thorns franchises or your North Carolina Courage franchises or, you know, your Chicago Red Stars, teams who have like constantly been in playoff conversations and constantly within the top four of the league. And sometimes the beginnings of their seasons don't necessarily mirror the end of their season. And I think we're maybe seeing some of these early hiccups right now for maybe a team like North Carolina Courage. We talked about it with Kansas City. Got to talk about it with North Carolina Courage. They also had been going through a little bit of things with COVID, players out on COVID protocol. A different game for this one because they had more of what they could consider some of their key players available in this one. We talked a little bit about if we were going to see Casey Murphy in this match. And quite frankly, with the exception of the very narrow scoreline, thought she had a pretty good game for North Carolina Courage. She's looking back to form and up to speed, I think.
I was exactly going to say that. I have that written down in my notes. We were so unsure if Casey Murphy was playing due to necessity or because she's back and she's ready. And I think she had a much better game this weekend against San Diego than she did in the midweek game for North Carolina. Just maybe a little bit of nerves that she shook off midweek that now we were able to see a lot more of in this match. I mean, despite the narrow scoreline and the one goal, of course, coming from Alex Morgan, is that That's 5 goals now in 4 games, the last 3 games or something. So incredible stats from Alex Morgan. She's done such a tremendous job carrying the San Diego team offensively, frankly. Yeah. And I think defensively, we have to look at San Diego and what they've been able to do, especially without Abby Dahlkemper in that back line, because she was out for a while. She was actually back made available throughout this match and then not being played. But it's Naomi Girma in the center back, the rookie for Casey Stoney, that has really done a tremendous job sitting in front of Kaylin Sheridan and really owning that center back role, doing such a nice job there. It's Girma. Right before this game happened, there was an announcement made by the NWSL committee saying that Kelsey Turnbow had an unsportsmanlike conduct in the last match. So she is to miss the next San Diego Wave match. So right before this game, Kelsey Turnbow is now out for Casey Stoney and for San Diego. And although Kelsey Turnbow isn't starting playing 90 every game and not scoring all the goals, she's a vital part of this team because she gets consistent minutes. She's a rest, honestly, in the midfield for some other players, and to not have her and have to lean a little bit more on some of these other players in Van Egmond and Taylor, Jody Taylor, Taylor Korniak as well. But yeah, throughout this match, I was impressed with Meredith Speck as well for North Carolina, despite not getting on the board for North Carolina. I was very impressed with Speck and how she's been able to step in the absence of a player like Caroline.
You know, I was looking at this game to sort of see, like, maybe this was going to be the game that North Carolina was able to get out there. And even if they didn't get a win, maybe just get a result against an expansion side that perhaps is still trying to figure some things out. At the very least, maybe see a different type of competitive battle in the middle third between these two teams. Because I feel like with the Wave, I think very, very early on, a lot of the storyline and the narrative around them and what we were seeing on the pitch was, gosh, like if they had this, maybe another piece in that middle third, you know, what would they look like? But something else I think has happened for them over this early phase of the season, and it's Taylor Korniak being trusted to take care of some things in the middle here. I think probably the biggest example of this is we got to talk about this goal and how it came to life, which was why it was, you know, a little bit intriguing why that, you know, that watching that announcement come out ahead of this game, the disciplinary committee went back and took a look, unsportsmanlike conduct, players unavailable. And we saw really early Challenge Cup, early weeks of the season that maybe there was a little bit of, maybe to call it competition for the position. We saw Turnbow in a lower role in the midfield. We've seen Korniak come in and sort of coming in and seeing how either of these players were going to be looking in the system that Casey Stoney is trying to develop with this team. And we've been seeing more of Korniak over this time. And in this match, there was this very peculiar moment where it was a kind of a little bit of a 1v1 Korniak in Dabinia. The official was kind of close for comfort, but we see a moment here where these two players kind of going for the ball, and Dabinia unfortunately loses that battle, expresses some frustration, looks like she was frustrated with sort of kind of the, you know, Korniak kind of utilizing the official there as maybe a little bit of a pick in some sense, and kind of stops a little bit and expresses the frustration, and all of a sudden in a second Korniak finds a lane, feeds Morgan, who was just wide open to drift into the behind the line there, got played into the box and put that away. You leave her that available, she's gonna make you pay. And all of a sudden, there was also the timing of this. They scored this goal right before halftime. So now you've got a courage side that has to come out and chase for the remainder of the second half.
Exactly. I think it's so important that we talk about what the lead up to that goal and potentially using the official as a pick, as a block, as a dummy decoy. That's allowed because the ref is technically a part of the field. Like if the ball hits off the ref, it doesn't stop. Like that, you just play on. It's like if the ball were to hit off.
They could stop the play if they like deliberately get in the way.
Keep playing. Yes. And they're not deliberately getting in the way, but like as a center mid, that happens. You dance around the ref all the time. I do it like every night in my, when I play soccer, it's, they're always in the way. So that's kind of how it happened. And the fact that Korniak was able to still, I was impressed with, yes, she had a lot of time and space, Korniak did, but she still played it quickly. And she's able to find such a great seam to lead Alex Morgan, who, yeah, was wide open. But I mean, a great shot from Morgan to net this pass Casey Murphy for sure.
You know, the Courage had a tough first half there. They weren't able to get much on goal, if anything. And then you saw all of a sudden the numbers from the first half to the second half in this match, obviously leveling out a little bit more. More shots for the Courage to sort of close things out, 15-9. But ultimately, both of these teams recording just two shots on goal, and the Wave making one of their two count in this one, and Alex Morgan just still putting together a very long resume ahead of this CONCACAF W championship that's going to take place in July. So it's something that we're going to keep an eye on for sure. But all 3 points for San Diego keeps them relevant and on top of the standings still very early on in this season for sure. But we've got more games to get through. Shout out to both Cali teams getting it done this weekend with a narrow scoreline. We're going to get back to the rest of these games right after a quick break.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's keep talking about some slim scorelines. We talked about the two Cali sides picking up narrow wins, 1-0, but there were still some pretty slim scorelines in the remainder of the matches that we're going to be chatting about here. Let's talk about New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC versus Racing Louisville FC. Racing on the road in this one, and go ahead and pick up all 3 points against Gotham FC. A 1-0 scoreline in this one. Laura Millay getting on the scoreboard for Racing. Lisa, I gotta say, I want to put it here on the live. We were chatting a little bit about it off mic, and we were talking a little bit about this matchup in particular. And we even talked a little bit about in our preview a bit for this game. I think I please correct me if I'm wrong when it comes to the picks in this one. What did I have in the picks for this one?
You had a draw between Racing Louisville and Gotham FC. I had Gotham taking the win in this one.
Listen,
I'll be honest. I'll always call us out on what we did.
Listen, you had Gotham in this one and I had a draw, but that's because I am still not seeing what I would like to see from Gotham. That is a little bit different for me in this match. And I really feel for the team because I was watching this Gotham FC side go up against Racing Louisville. And we're talking about getting more looks in the final third, looking a little bit more dynamic, creating chances. We're talking 5 post shots in this match, which ties a record.
They quite got frankly, so close.
it's again, I cannot come on this show and be like, oh yeah, it's for lack of effort. That's bull. And I'm not going to say that. I rarely find myself saying that about any NWSL team. That's simply not true when we're talking about this league. But I felt for him a little bit. I was like, gosh, this, like, sometimes there's a certain, like, look, it's a professional soccer. So there's a certain amount of tactics, skill, intelligence, right? All of that you have to have in this, but it's a sport like any other sport. And sometimes luck is involved, and I hate to even do it, but what an unlucky match when you're looking at some of these opportunities for them.
Yes, exactly. I have to give a shout out to Emily Davidson in our chat right now. She says, guys, Gotham is not winning. Stop it. Which is hilarious because we keep picking them. She's calling us out on it. I mean, because they have the pieces. Emily, they hit the crossbar five times. Christy Mewis got so
close. I love it. I mean,
Mewis should have scored two. I'm going to give her two of the ones that she did not put away, but should doesn't count in soccer. That doesn't count as a goal if you should have scored, and they did not. I also think Racing Louisville got really lucky on their goal as well, because frankly, this was a great team build-up play. Like, there was a lot of great pieces in this goal for Racing Louisville. It came early in this game, 13th minute, which is really good for Racing Louisville to be able to start on that quick front foot, be much more attacking-minded, which is something Kim Bjorkegren is wanting to do this year, not be so defensive. And for this great team build-up goal, the ball was moving quick. I mean, Gotham wasn't defending, they were defending late. They were stepping late throughout the entirety of this game. And Jess McDonald gets this ball, and it's a beautiful cross across the top of the 18, Larmelay wide open on the back post. And she's able to net this one. It actually hits the top netting inside of the goal. And really, it wasn't that well struck. I'm going to be honest here, because it was a lucky bounce that this goal went in for Racing Louisville. Extremely lucky, unlucky for Michelle Bedos, goalkeeper for Gotham, who got her first minutes in goal against her old team in Racing Louisville. And Bedos is an incredible goalkeeper, but this ball kind of bounces over Lauren Millay's foot, and she ends up still getting a piece of it and enough of it that it goes into the goal. But then on the Gotham side of things, so many off the post. Christy Mewis had a wide open shot, which an incredible ball from Caprice Didasco out of the back, lofted over the top to break all of Racing Louisville's press, which was the best way for Gotham to execute that, is just send balls over the top. And we saw runs from Nahu Kawasumi and Monahan. Anamanu got on a lot of balls. And ultimately, Mewis gets on the end of this one. And this is the one that she should have scored. It was her left foot, and she just rockets it. It was a field goal, good for 3 points, but not good enough in soccer on the ground to find the back of the net, frankly. I was disappointed in that.
I hear you. I feel you 100%. And I'm still cracking up about what Emily said. We want to see it. We want to see it. That's why we keep picking them. But look, to the victor goes the spoils, right? We got to exactly. Chat it up about Racing Louisville a little bit. I'm here for Jessica McDonald's supremacy. I am loving what this player has rapidly become for this franchise, already showing in these early parts of the NWSL season why she was such a huge acquisition for them. And I'm said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it, I'm really loving this sort of kind of early chemistry that we're seeing between McDonald specifically and Lauren Millay. Talking to her during our preview segment, when we were saying, hey, we're going to do all these team previews in the off season. And when we got to Racing Louisville's, we talked to Lauren Millay and we asked her about Jess McDonald and how eager, and she's talked about how eager she was to work with and play with Jess McDonald again, was with her on North Carolina Courage, but was a much younger player then and was eager to have the opportunity to learn more from her, both on but specifically off the pitch as well, just like this concept of like what it means to be a pro or be a professional in NWSL. And I really love that this was this kind of connection between the two of them to link up for this goal in this game. I hope we continue to see it develop a little bit more. And I think in this type of match, to sort of get to get this goal on the road against, quite frankly, a Gotham FC side that's still trying to figure some things out. Yeah. There had to have been some areas in which they were, you know, making their game day preparations and said, listen, if we can maybe find moments of this game to press,
Yeah. It
was... And for some discomfort that maybe we can make some things happen, because that's what, looking at this Racing Louisville side, there are moments where we see that, mm-hmm. and they look like this incredibly active team. And they have these stretches from this 15 minute, maybe even 20 minute stretches where they're like very active, higher up the pitch, trying to be, you know, applying the pressure. Then it wanes off a little bit. And I'm just like, you know, what happens to that? But that's tough if you're, exactly. when you're trying to do that for a whole, 90 minutes. But I think in this game, it maybe was a little bit more nerve-wracking for me watching, because I'm like, God, any minute here, any second here, Gotham is going to get one of these to go in. And it just didn't happen.
They had so many breakaway opportunities that I wanted them to just go a little bit faster, harder, stronger. No. I don't know. I was like, it was just those moments where they could have gotten goals and frankly just did not put it away. But you mentioned the Jess McDonald, Lauren Millay combination. I love that. And even on the celebration, you could see Jess McDonald was like, that was good. Let's do it again. Yeah. And Millay is just like so excited and celebrating, which is what she should be. But then McDonald is there to kind of be the leader of that group as a 10-year vet in the league to take Racing Louisville to new heights.
Yeah. And it's a team with a lot of young, much younger players, right? Yes. Emily Fox still having really good games for this team. They're two rookies in Jalen Howell and Savannah DeMello. I really like what they're presenting in the middle third for Racing. But, you know, it's a long season and there's teams that have other more experienced players maybe in the middle. So we're going to see what happens. So you got to, you know, in this league, it's tough to get points. We hear these players say this all the time and they're walking away with all three. And a high place in the standings for them. Let's move on to another game that had a very, very slim scoreline. 0-0, in fact. The third meeting for these two teams in a month.
And last meeting
for the regular season. OL Reign hosted Washington Spirit at Lumen Field in Seattle, Washington. These two teams played out to a 0-0 draw. And listen, we talked about it on the preview. Lisa, what did we pick? What were we looking at?
You had a draw between OL Reign and Washington, and I had OL Reign getting their first win against this team. And they your draw happened, but OL Reign still searching for their first win over Washington Spirit. The rivalry continues.
I know for us on this side of things, where we're watching this type of game, we love it. We love the energy we're feeding off of it. We're like, yes, this is awesome. It's this kind of, you know, this is special type of rivalry between these two teams that isn't fixated on geographical region or location, right? It's two teams that just go out there and like to battle each other. And the fact that we've seen so many of these matches this early on between these two sides, I'm a little curious if they even are going to meet each other in a potential postseason battle. Who knows? So we'll literally have to wait now.
Yes, that's the only time we would see them again. The fact that they've played each other in such quick succession at the start of this season between Challenge Cup and now the regular season, there was so much familiarity almost too much that you could predict and throughout this match, I mean, starting lineups, we like to look at those and kind of break it down. Ashley Sanchez higher up the pitch again, Chris Ward for Washington Spirit, leaving a bit of a hole. We talked about player availability, Andy Sullivan available in this one, Kelly O'Hara available for Washington Spirit in this one, limited minutes for both of those players, but we did both see them get in, which is incredible to see, especially Andy Sullivan coming back after a tough injury that she was out for such a long time with that one. But having Ashley Sanchez up the field is a choice.
I love
that's
that,
all
Lisa.
I'm gonna say, because I haven't had the pleasure of speaking with Chris Ward recently and I haven't called one of their games recently, and maybe there's a very good rhyme or reason for that, and maybe we know that Ashley Sanchez can produce goals.
Yeah,
that is obvious, and maybe having her higher up the pitch is something that they're hoping to get a little bit more out of her and having more goals in her, but being closer to the goal, you just get them out of her a little bit. But this just opens up such a big hole in the midfield, especially without Andy Sullivan in there. And that's what is missing right now for Washington. I loved this game, frankly.
We're talking about what's missing for the Spirit. I think when we're looking at the Reign, Lisa, we got to talk about what's missing for them. And it's just straight up goals.
They cannot score.
it's like, are they snake bit right now a little bit? Like maybe the same thing can be echoed for a team like Gotham FC. But when we're just looking and keeping this focus on the rain and the talent that they have on their pitch and the numbers that they produce in these games, we're talking, they close out this one with 20 shots and 8 attempts on target and none of them going in. And then, you know, again, the scoreless draw that they had with Thorns, you know, mm-hmm. 17 shots there and only, you know, a handful on target there. It's just the finishing just isn't there for this team right now. And sure, everyone could say that it's early, but is there a timeline here where you look at this team and if they're still producing this similar results, do you say that this is concerning and has to be, you know, addressed in some type of way?
I think the lack of scoring goals is always concerning because as a team defensively, you cannot rely on your defense, your goalkeeper to win you games. That's supposed to be your last resort. That's supposed to be, hey, thanks, you bailed us out this time because we only got one and you kept a clean sheet. That can't be the solution throughout an entirety of a season when you need to win games. You can't just rely on shutouts like in a match like this. A lot of people giving high praise to Aubrey Kingsbury. Yes, an incredible goalkeeper, a really good game by her in goal by Washington Spirit. But so much of it reflects on the goal scorers for OL Reign and the fact that there really isn't one. I mean, even throughout the Challenge Cup, all of their goals were split amongst 10 different players or so, which is a positive thing when you're getting a lot of different players opportunities to score goals and they're able to put them away. But when you don't have one person that can consistently find the back of the net, that's a danger. That's a red flag in your team. I think Bethany Balser could have been that for them or still could be for that for them. Balser actually ended up going down and with a bit of an injury throughout this match. I don't have an update on her personally. I don't know if you do, but that was a bit scary and a bit concerning to see her getting helped off the field. It did not look great. She looked to be in a lot of pain.
Yeah. I think one of the questions that you're asking yourself as a club in terms of, you know, if it's something related to the goal scoring or the lack of finishing, that is not something that you're excited about for an answer. Having one of your more dynamic strikers and forwards come off of a tough game, you know, in some pain or injured, that's not necessarily going to help this team at the moment find more answers when it comes to the finishing, especially with a player like Balser who has the ability to be clinical at times and has the ability to kind of score from where. This is a player that we've seen pretty even in the final third. She could get him with her head, left or right foot, you know, having, even though the team is sort of hitting some offensive struggles right now, that's definitely not something that you want to see happen in a game like this as you're searching for further production. But again, another team that we're talking about, we saw finding success in a Challenge Cup and still looking for a way to kind of translate that in the regular season. It's going to be something that we got to keep an eye on for sure. But another result, it's not a loss. It's a point for this OL Reign side in the column and for the Washington Spirit as well. And like Rose Lavelle said, we had an interview with her this week, everybody. So if you haven't checked it out, go and listen to it if you get the chance after this. But I'm sure they're tired of each other. Rose Lavelle mentioning it's like, that's enough. Let's move on.
Exactly.
I'm like, did we freeze on the line?
No, sorry, I'm still here. Yeah, exactly. And not just tired of each other, but also tired of playing and tired of going back and forth so much and just needing a bit of a break with so many quick turnaround games. And now that happens a little bit, at least.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this team moving forward and the Spirit as well, because they've had a match heavy load as well. Hopefully they'll come out on the more positive end of it moving forward. But last one for the night, everybody, Portland Thorns FC versus Houston Dash. We had to save this one. We had to save this one, because this was another one where I think that we did not get the prediction right in this one. I think I was going Thorns in this one.
Yeah, we both had Thorns.
Listen, Houston Dash said, pause that. On hold, please. They took the win in this one. 2-0 goals from Rachel Daly and Sophie Schmidt. Portland Thorns, maybe similar similar questions that we're asking from OL Rain, but also of Portland Thorns as well.
No, yeah. I think Portland can score.
Okay.
I think Portland knows how to score and they can score. I honestly don't think it's the same type of questions. I think that more of the focus in this match for me was on Houston, because this is a team that is incredibly unpredictable, and they can use it to their advantage in a match like this against Portland and come out and have Rachel Daly on fire. The goal that Rachel Daly scored, her composure, her commitment to swag and to being just such a threat in front of the net and knowing, hey, there's 2-3 defenders on me. It's fine. I'll make them all fall to the ground and find the back of the net. So easy. That's Rachel Daly to a T. And the unpredictability about Houston Dash is that we haven't seen this team play this type of game in many games, in weeks. Weeks. And then the fact that something can happen, they flip a switch. Maybe it was traveling to Providence Park and playing in that type of arena where everyone is fired up for your opponent, that it's a chip on your shoulder. And it's like, no, we're going to prove these suckers wrong. And everyone that picked against us. And that's exactly what we saw. I mean, the Rachel Daly goal was great. The Sophie Schmidt goal, I'm going to say a little bit of luck on this one.
Listen, wild angle. I love a goal happening from a wild, wild angle. When I saw it happening, When I saw it happening in real time, I was like, gosh, that looks awfully familiar. Where did I see that before? And Katie Johnson scored a similar goal in a similar area during the 2021 semifinal against Bixby there. It's such an awkward angle, but apparently a sweet spot. Maybe if opposition are looking to try a curious angle, just like if you have the opportunity to just try it with the time and the space, and why not, and see what happens. I think Sophie Schmidt at one point, you know, looking with the body language a little bit like, whoa, like that one. And I love the celebration afterwards after a type of goal like that. But it was a goal that provided, you know, a little bit of insurance, a little bit of a cushion for this team on the road, you know, doing some good things. The Dash are maybe surprising some other people, maybe even surprising themselves a little bit, you know, who,
I think so.
Who knows? It's early in the season to where it's like you can, when I think about this goal from Sophie Schmidt, it's like, why not just try some things and exactly. just sort of see what happens. But I mean, I loved it. The timing of when these goals happened as well. I love that they got this goal in the winding minutes of the first half, you know, on the road. You're forcing the home side to chase, and loving the link up with, you know, Nichelle Prince and Rachel Daly. We talked a lot in previous episodes and in our preview of this Houston Dash team specifically, that we wanted to see that this sort of frontline trio of a Daly, of Prince, of Sanchez, that can be so much fun and has a lot of potential to rival other attacks in the league. So whenever some combination of this trio is looking as if they're firing on cylinders, I think it's very exciting and very good for Houston. But also seeing this goal from Sophie Schmidt happen past the hour mark, that's a very important time to be able to sort of, you know, make sure that you sort of get this go-ahead goal and get that insurance, you know, as you're sort of taking a game like this maybe in phases if you're the visiting side on the road. So good win, I think, for them.
Huge. And you mentioned for Houston and Schmidt, getting the goal right after the 60-minute mark is big, because a team like Portland in the 70th minute can still come back and score a couple goals. They can get something going. They can find something, especially with the home crowd on their side throughout a match like this. So a little bit of insurance from Sophie Schmidt. And I mean, it was an incredible goal. And we don't see that from Sophie Schmidt a lot. She's not a player that is finding the back of the net. She's that final pass player. That's who you want to get the ball to when you need someone to split the seams and lay it in beautifully on a dime to a forward running in. But Schmidt can do it all herself. This was an interesting game. It was a crazy game. Neither of us had them pegged, but no. Houston, they walk away with 3 points out of Providence Park. Wow.
You love to see it. It's early, Lisa, but I know you've got an eye on him. What are the standings for folks to sort of take a look at before we close out?
I love running off these standings, leading the way, both expansion sides, number one and number two. San Diego Wave sits at number one with 12 points. Angel City, number two, 9 points. Racing Louisville, third place. Fourth place is Houston Dash. They're 3 points against Portland, jumped them up in the standings. Number five, Orlando Pride. Number six, Chicago Red Stars. This 7 through 12, everyone, listen up. This is week 4 or 5 of the NWSL. Number seven, Portland Thorns. Number eight, Washington Spirit. Number nine, Gotham FC. 10, OL Reign. 11, Kansas City. And coming in last place, number 12 with 0 points, North Carolina Courage. Still searching for first win, their first tie in this regular season.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. Look. Another content note for everyone before we close out. I mentioned it at the top of the episode. I'm going to mention it here again. We're going to keep the lives going. We love whenever you all get a chance to hang out with us and get our reactions to things. So we're going to be going live on Thursdays for the next few weeks due to there being some midweek matches on the NWSL schedule for the foreseeable future. So make sure you tune in with us then. Thanks so much for listening tonight, though, and for always listening to Attacking Third. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're live, baby. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. If you got questions for me or Lisa, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question and we'll answer it during our mailbag segment. And we'll be back with more previews for NWSL action for Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman. This was Attacking Third.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.